Lester, that was a really nice, that was a really nice share. That was really grounding. Although I really struggle to focus. I don't know where to start. Yeah, I just got a new job and I'm starting on Monday. And it's really exciting and all that, and my head cannot stop thinking about it. Like, my head cannot stop making plans, thinking of what I'm gonna do, how I'm going to organize myself, and da da da, and what I'm gonna need, and it's relentless. And I mean, I'm really enthusiastic about the job. I'm happy. Goodness, just like sometimes to be able to just, like, you know, just turn it down a bit. It's exhausting. You know, if I wake up at night to go to the toilet and I come back and I'm closing my eyes and I'm like, quick, 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 go back to bed, quick, before your head starts, you know, like, because I know that if my head starts, I'm gonna not, you know. So yes, that's draining, although I know that I have ways to make it slow down. When I'm gonna have enough, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to start breathing, you know. The problem is that there is kind of like a, I don't know, I like, and also I'm like so addicted, I've always been like addicted like to fantasy, and I have this part of me who just loves like getting lost into my daydreaming and my, you know, sometimes I'm just like, okay, now I'm just gonna think about that, I'm just gonna be in my fantasy, and I'm just gonna and I get lost in that, and it takes a lot of energy. So yeah, that's where I'm at right now. Then I was thinking about so many things while you were sharing, Lester. Because yeah, it's, you know, it's like for me too, it was, I relate to a lot. For me, it was like that. It was like, I don't know, life of my HP, or I don't know, was like, I mean, my disease is relentless, you know. But my HP is too, and I can see now that my HP was with me, trying to nudge me in the right direction the whole time, you know. I was given so many opportunities along the way to change, and one after the others, I chose to ignore them, or I chose to turn them into something that was against me instead of an opportunity to change. And and my HP is relentless, so every time the signals would get stronger and stronger, you know, I would lose one more thing, and I would get lower and lower, and I would get knocked down. And every time I would get back up and be like, no, I want my way. I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do this. And every time I would, you know, get knocked back down. And it was like, yeah, for me, it was like that. It was like my HP telling me, are you ready now? You know, are you ready to change now? And I would be like, I have enough, and I want to stop using, and my life is shit. Yes, but are you ready to change? And I would get back up, and I would go back doing what I was doing, and nothing would change. So after using for, because I got clean when I was 25, after using for a bit more than 10 years, because I had gotten back up so many times after being knocked down, I felt like I had tried so hard. You know, I felt so tired. I felt like I had tried everything, because I had tried not everything, but a lot of things. But I think I had tried more things to succeed in using than I had tried things to really stop using, you know? I had really, really tried to become a successful addict, and that was a lot of energy, you know? It takes a lot to get back up after after losing someone, after reaching rock bottom again, you know? So yeah, I felt every time, I felt like I've had enough. But that was not the question. The question my HP was asking was, are you ready to change? Because it's not enough to have enough, is it? Because I had enough 6 months after starting using. But I didn't want to change. I wanted everything else to change. I wanted for heroin to allow me to use it every day. I wanted for weed to be cheaper. And I wanted for it to be easier to find. And I wanted for dealers to be on time. And I wanted my body to be able to take more. But I didn't want to change. I didn't want to change. So yeah, for over 10 years, my addiction got worse, and every time my HP came back, are you ready to change? And I see it like that now. I wasn't able to see it like this before, because now I've been clean a few years. I've been clean for 6.5 years now. I'm really, really, it's not even happy. And I've been to meetings regularly, and I've got sponsees now, and I have a different perspective on my using, of course. And I can hear now, you know, when I was crying, and when we are new, or when we are, you know, that we have enough. I can hear. I had enough so many times. So yeah, for me, that's all about this moment where I was ready to change. I went to detox, and I went to psychiatric unit, to a psychiatric unit, and every time I would have a tantrum about after a few days or after a few weeks, and wanting to leave, and I would always go there and have still stuff to smoke in my pocket, or I would still get people to come in and get me things, and I would always look at doctors, and all of those people who were supposed to help me wanted to help me as the enemy, you know, and I had this very not arrogant, but I had this like, what do you know about my problem? Who the fuck? How the fuck? Sorry, I swore. I'm sorry. I swear I'm French. How? What do you know about what I suffer with, you know? You there, you know, making your big money with your nice white coat, telling me what the fuck I should do. You don't know? You have no clue? Because when I come back and I tell you that I still want to use, you give me another tablet. You make me go to another appointment with whoever, you know? But you don't know. you know. I never thought that they could help me. I just thought that they were in the way and they just didn't want to say that they didn't know. That they couldn't help me because I was beyond help. That's one thing I was sure of. I was beyond help. I was a piece of trash and I was beyond help. And actually, you know, I think I used to comfort myself in this belief, because if you're beyond help, then you don't even have to try, you know. So I would just go there. I would cry and cry to get accepted in those places, you know, in the hospital, in the things, because I wanted to kill myself, because I was so depressed, because I had enough. And I would arrive there and I would act like a child, you know, like I work with toddlers and sometimes they do that, you know. Sometimes they sit in front of the toilet and they cry because they don't want to wash their hands. And I would do that. I would sit down on the floor in front of the nurse's station and I would cry for them to give me more. That would become their responsibility, not mine anymore. And I wanted to use that was because of them, because they couldn't fix me. And it was such a mess, my goodness, like a tornado of goodness. And I didn't want to change. I didn't want to change. I wanted to find a way to have my way. I wanted the pain to stop, but I wanted to stop the pain the way I wanted. There was no understanding of what the pain was about, of what, no. I had it in my head that the drugs were the solution. So I'm gonna do that. Another rock bottom. I did the Geographic, so I ended up in London. I used 2 more years in London. And another rock bottom. And I called my mom and she said, what do you want to do? You want to come back to France? And I knew already, you know, I knew I would go back to France. I would get sectioned again, or I would end up living on her couch, smoking weed all day, not being able to have a shower. And, you know, like going to my neighbor's place to have some more of whatever they had at the moment, fuck another dealer, be miserable. And I remembered that I had met this girl who had been sober for a few years. And I knew, I don't even know from where, maybe from movies, that there was NA, that, you know. And I went on the website and I looked up at the meeting list and I just went like such a cliche, you know. I was almost in my pyjamas, maybe I was, like, I don't even know if I had the different outfit for pyjamas and for regular clothes at that point. And I just got to a meeting and I asked, is it here? And I sat in the back and then I heard, I'm sorry for people who've already heard my share, but yeah, it's still the same story. It's still my experience. And something crazy happened, you know, something crazy happened. I heard this guy doing a share and he talked about like feeling exactly the same things as I had been feeling for years and doing the same things, or no, doing very different things, but with the same motives as mine, or with, wow, that was me, but in a 40 or 50 year old Cockney truck driver, you know, that was mad. It's like he knew me. And I had never heard that, you know, because I had been hanging out with the dealers and the junkies and, you know, of course, for years. But we don't talk about having a problem. We don't talk about changing our lives, you know. So that was the first time. It was the first time for me that I heard someone with like such a crazy thinking and, you know, saying that it had stopped, you know. The only thing that I heard was like, I used to be obsessed with using drugs and my life was shit and I would do anything for drugs. So that was like me. And then he said that the cravings had disappeared. The hunger for drugs was gone. And when he was walking in the streets, he was not thinking like he was in the bubble of his own, you know, with all the normal people doing life, you know. He was part of it now. He was, you know. Wow. That's crazy, you know. That was crazy. Because I really, like, I felt like I was made of something that was so different from... It's just that all those things, you know, they was just not for me. They were just not for me. They were for other people, you know. Other people can feel, be happy and have a job they love and you know, and get a family and you know, like, do normal things, you know. Other people can go through life, do life, you know, without having to drag the burden, you know, of like pain that I had with me all the time. But I was doomed, you know. For me, that was my burden to carry. I was living like that, and I didn't know any other way. And that's how I was doomed to live and to die if I was lucky, you know. Because I was terrified of living another day. Actually, I was gonna say another 3, 5, 10, 20 years, but actually I was terrified to live one more day feeling like that. I just wished I could just end up now. So this guy telling me that he felt like that, and now he was on the other side of the fence, you know, like doing life like the other people and all that. So what are you telling me? This is incredible. My story is not a story of like revolving doors, of multiple relapses, or like, my story is that I got into a meeting, I heard that, and I threw myself in it. I was like, what is it that you did? I want that. Give it to me. Where do I sign? What do I do? Like, that's amazing. I want some. Take my money. Okay. And I was so desperate, you know. I was so desperate. I always think of this time where I had been clean for a few weeks and I was walking under the rain because I wanted to use and I wanted to go to this off license to get some like canister gas or whatever, and it was always open, and I was walking under the rain with my phone talking to someone in the room, say, I want to use, you know, like in the movies, like all wet. And the off license was closed for some reason. HP thing again. And that's, you know, that's how pathetic and how desperate and how, you know, I had enough. I sat down in the room. Thank you, Magda. I sat down, I put my back down in the room, and I was like, okay, let's do that. And I brainwashed myself with the program. I went to meetings. I even remember going to do fellowship after the meetings and sitting and hoping for like one of the guys, or, you know, that was talking sense to sit down and start talking again, you know? Like, give me that sweet stuff, you know? Tell me again how even a fucking like dirty junkie like me can get what you have, you know? Tell me how you got it, you know? You've got the good stuff, give it to me. And it worked, You know, they said to get a sponsor, I got a sponsor. They said to get service, I got service. And I didn't do perfect, you know. I'm trying to be like a bit more polite. I started seeing this other newcomer guy who's really cute after like 60 days, you know. Sometimes I didn't call my sponsor for a long time. Sometimes I put my step work down for a bit too long. But I did my 1990. I did fellowship a lot because I didn't have any more friends anyway, and I didn't want to be with anyone else. And I just like, I got full immersion. Like I went in, and and it worked. And I don't want to talk about the house, the car. Well, I don't have a house and a car at the moment, but I got to, you know, to go back to school and to get a job I love, and I'm in a loving relationship, you know. I'm getting married, I've got like all the stuff, I got my relationships back with families and stuff, like, you know. But internally, I've never, and I had moments in recovery where I was feeling really low, you know. I had like horrible panic attacks and horrible times where I was feeling really, really bad. But I've never felt, and I have mental health, you know. I have depression and I have anxiety problems, like, you know, but I never feel alone the way I did before NA, you know. I never feel like this utter and complete free falling sensation, like, you know, like there is no edges, there is nothing to grab on, like I'm, you know, like I'm just free falling. And this terror of, you know, I never feel that anymore. NA is giving me like a structure, you know, like something like a scaffold, you know, like something that it's around me. I don't have to grab onto it. Sometimes I don't, and it turns out a bit, you know. But when I do, I know I can pick up my phone, I can call someone, I can go to a meeting, and I can feel connected. You know, it's given me a choice, you know, really. It's given me the choice to be miserable on my own if I want, but it's given me the choice to connect and to be like, oh my God, you are crazy too. You sound completely insane too, you know. You have hope too. Oh my God, you feel like me. We can do something, you know. Sometimes I feel bad for people who don't have a who don't have a program. I never want to leave NA. I never want to live in it. I want to give it to everybody. If I could, I would do like the Jesus people who come to you in McDonald's and say, you know, Jesus loves you, you know. I wish I could just go to any addict in the streets and say, you know, there is a way. Like, it just, this program just makes me so happy. I'm so grateful. Yeah, for me, that's it, you know. I don't have to feel alone ever again. And I can change. I've changed so much, not just the drugs. It's not life beyond my wildest dreams. I have become the person that I never thought I could be beyond my wildest dreams. I never thought Jasmine could be that. Life, well, it's life. It's, you know, it comes and it goes, but wow. I'm transformed. Yeah, that's it, really. I wish you all a really happy new year. And thank you so much, because I can see a few names, you know, Magda, Bramo. I just have a few here. People who've really impacted my recovery, and people that... I love you guys. Even though I don't know you, you're in the program. I love you. Thank you so much.